All right. We are live. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. We stream online at cgsf.ca. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, and listen to podcasts of our programs on SoundCloud and our website. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CGSF or 2573. This is Khoi Inge Shachlak from the Intlakem territories up in the Nicola Valley from Gwaishkana, BC, and I'm your host here on Free Voices, brought to you by Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. And we have a super awesome special show today. We have a special guest all the way from London, England, and his name is Dr. Akvan, and he's an international law lawyer, and he's worked with the United Nations all over the world in probably the worst conditions possible known to mankind, which is war. And he survived all those, and he's a huge, huge hero to my heart and many people all over the world. And it's just so special to have this man with us. Welcome, Dr. Akvan.
Thank you for having me, and it's such a great pleasure to be here at SFU and to finally meet you in person. And you're such a wonderful host, so it's a real treat.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we also have a few other people in the studio here with us. We have Salar, and we also have Lady Faima and the president of Minnetkade Park Association. And we also have some of our workers here, volunteer workers at the studio. And we also have Kanavar, he's our music coordinator here, and Jesse, he's also helping us out with the cameras and the recordings of this special, special program. So it's going to be awesome. So we're going to start out with a very special song from Celine Dion and Andre Bocelli. Bocelli.
Yes.
And the name of the song is called The Prayer. And I found it very fitting, and it's very beautiful. So we'll start off with that, and we'll get on with the rest of our program here. So enjoy, everyone out there. Oh, I better also remember to welcome all our listeners from all over the world, from England, from Germany, from Russia, from Ukraine, China, India, Japan, South America, New Zealand, Australia. We love you all. Thank you for coming and joining. And it's just so special. So enjoy our music, and we'll be right back.
Nella mia
That was the pick of Lady Fima, a very special emotional song. I really enjoyed that. Very good setup. And we'll continue with our show and we'll do what we've been taught with our special brother Wegedesk, and he always leads us through some deep breaths. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it today, but I'll do my best to lead us through. And he starts off, we do three deep breaths, and we try to imagine just pulling in all the positivity into our beings. And as we exhale, we're trying to get rid of any negative thoughts and negative things that enter us through our weekdays. So we're going to try to relax our right from the top of our head all the way down to our toes. And we're going to inhale three times. And we want you all to join us. And we'll do it on one, two, three. Last one. Thank you all for joining us. We have the special privilege of having a man that's come from the educational background of Harvard University, a graduate, and he's traveled all over into the worst world parts of the world, to Bosnia, Rwanda, Sri Lanka. These are the ones that I can remember, but they were, I really remember them because I was in university when I saw them, and it just really changed my life in seeing the horrors of humanity. And just to know a person that went to all those same devastating countries and survived. Mm-hmm. You know, this is huge. It's like superhuman. And I will continue on with part of what we learned from investigating. We learned that he's currently serves the council of the Commission of Small Island States on Climate Change and International Law. He's an inaugural holder of the Macy Chair in Human Rights at the University of Toronto. He serves a senior advisory of the Ministry of the Global Affairs and a member of advisory panel on Ukraine International Airlines flight PS752 tragedy. Mm-hmm. He's a special advisor of Prosecution General of Ukraine on international crimes from 2022 Russian invasion. And you're very brave. You're very brave. And are you brave?
I'm just doing my job. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a human duty to have empathy for those who suffer. And to each and every one of us do what we can to struggle for justice and make this a better world. And if I may share with you a poem from the tradition of my ancestors in Iran. And it is from a poet by the name of Saadi from the city of Shiraz. It is in Persian, but an English translation of it goes along the lines of human beings are members of a whole, created in essence from one soul. Should fate bring on one part pain, the other parts uneasy will remain. You who have no sympathy for human pain, the name of human you cannot retain. So to feel the suffering of others is what it means to be a human being. And to serve humankind is what it means to live a life with meaning and purpose. So in a sense, someone may say you're very courageous. But for me, maybe I think that I'm being, in a sense, selfish, in the sense that I want to look back and say that I lived my life for something important, something valuable. And I think part of it was a very particular experience in my youth that really transformed my idea of how I want to live my life. I'm originally from Iran, and in my childhood, my family left to come to Canada because we were members of the Baha'i religious minority, which in particular after the revolution in 1979 faced violent persecution at the hands of a fanatical and ruthless totalitarian ideological state. And when I was 16 years old, I heard that one of my contemporaries by the name of Mona Mahmoudnejad, a high school student from the city of Shiraz, from the same city where Saadi wrote that poem hundreds of years ago, had been arrested because she wrote a high school essay demanding her human rights, her freedom of expression, her freedom of belief as a member of the Baha'i minority. And for that, Mona was imprisoned. She faced torture. And ultimately, in the summer of 1983, she and nine other young women, Baha'i women, were executed. And when I received news that she had been executed, it completely shattered my world of complacence here in Canada, where my biggest concern was fitting in and being cool among my classmates as an immigrant child. Mm-hmm. That was my concern. How do you gain acceptance from your peers, and how do you fit in? And when I heard this news, the first question I asked myself is, why her and not me? Getting back to the idea of empathy, to feeling the pain of others. What's the difference between me and my 16-year-old contemporary, except that my family migrated to Canada and she stayed in Iran? I could have been Mona. I could have been standing there being hanged for writing a high school essay. And at that point, it made me think, what is my freedom and prosperity worth in Canada if it's wasted on selfish mediocrity in our consumer culture, our very materialistic society? So getting back to this idea of, am I brave? Am I courageous? Not compared to Mona, not compared to many, many other people I've met across the world. In these sites of suffering, which we never may even hear about, who are willing to give their lives for what they believe in. So it makes me think that whatever I've done isn't really that significant compared to what price others have paid. So it's been very humbling. It's been a very humbling journey, because Mona made me decide to commit my life to seeking justice, as a path of redemption, as a path of making sense of all the violence and all the suffering. So that brought me to all these war zones around the world, in Bosnia, Rwanda, Guatemala, Cambodia, many, many other places in the world. And it made me realize both that all human beings suffer the same. We are one in essence. And that we have to be concerned with the welfare of others. Because getting back to the poem of Saadi, we are all created from the same essence. We are one soul. And in that sense, at this stage, I wouldn't look back and say, oh, I've been so brave. I would simply say, this is our purpose. This is what we've been created to do. And I will just add maybe on one small note, which is a small prayer that my grandmother taught me from the Baha'i writings, mm-hmm. which says, behold the candle, how it burns to give forth its light. So in my tradition, we have to be like the candle. The candle is no good if it doesn't give its light. Mm-hmm. That's its purpose. Mm-hmm. But to give its light, it has to burn. Mm-hmm. No pain, no gain.
That's so true. Yes, that is. So we're going to continue on, and we're just going to take a little music break like we like to do here. So, and then we're going to continue on with our interview here. So we have one here. I picked it out, and I had the... I was collaborating with our lady Fahima to find this song, and it's based on James Bond. So let's try to lighten our mood here. So let's have a little listen to what Bob Music has for us. So let's have a listen to that, and we won't listen to the whole thing. We'll just do a little intro and have some fun. Enjoy. We'll be right back. That was from Bob Music, and it's about James Bond. And for all the history that you've gone through, it just reminded me of James Bond, and it gave me that somebody to look up to, somebody to know that, you know, we can all make a difference, we can do things. Sometimes it takes a lot of courage and just getting into some very dangerous situations, and to go into a war country and come out and survive, that's an incredible feat. I remember when I was reading up on Sri Lanka and some of the reporters that were there and the journalists that went there, and they came back and many of them didn't survive. Many of them like took their lives. They just couldn't handle the horrors of humanity and just all the destruction that they were witness to. And it's a really hard and extremely hard thing to overcome. And you were able to do it in all these countries. You had to physically go in there knowing that there was war and the likelihood of death and violence is really high, and yet you willingly went to those places, went in, survived, and were able to come out. And I remember because Salar, our other member here, he was the one that introduced me to your one of your seminars. And you discussed on the issues of all the destruction, the genocide that arose in each of those countries. And I remember from that interview, you were saying that there was something that linked them, a lot of them together, were radio programs of negativity, like hate speeches and talking about hate crimes, and it came to pass. They happened. And it really made me realize, like, because at the time we just lost Counselor Fari, and she was the brainchild of this program, and she was very instrumental in putting together the program, all the different segments that we try to follow. And when she passed into the spirit world, I felt lost, and I was thinking that maybe this isn't the way that I should be. But when I heard your special seminar and talk, it really inspired me to want to continue and to provide something that's positive, something that's gonna grow humanity and grow some positivity. I needed it myself, because with Counselor Fari, she was my polar opposite. She was so positive and so loving, and I was on the opposite spectrum, just based on what I went through in my life, just surviving genocide here. And from my parents and community, it made me very rigid and negative, and I had no other avenues. And when I met with Counselor Fari, and she had all this positivity and unconditional love, and I saw how it was changing my own community. And as I worked with her for 25 years, I seen her positive influence all over North America. And so after she was gone, it just made me search, and it when Salar introduced me to your great work and all that you've done, it just really, really inspired me and pushed me into working hard at this positivity and trying to grow myself and help bring other people that may be in that like-minded state. And so I'm just privileged and honored to have you come here, and just want to come and meet all of us and just be a part of this program where we're trying to build the world into a more positive place. And with Councillor Fari, she said that it would be great to bring in world achievers, and we believe and we know that you're a world achiever. Mm-hmm. You've gone into this world and you've done that.
Absolutely.
And we would like to know how you survived all those places and how you came to the conclusion on the radio programs.
You've said many very important and thoughtful things, and let me begin by saying it's my honor and pleasure to see you in person after mm-hmm. our telephone interview, mm-hmm. and it also fills me with hope to see such wonderful, thoughtful people as you and your colleagues. But you said something which really struck with me. You said when Councillor Fari passed to the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, was full of meaning, because this is not necessarily the way people usually speak about the human condition, what it means to be human. So we begin with the premise that there's a duality to human nature. There is a lower self, that self which draws us to greed, anger, violence, selfishness, all of the things that debase us, all of the things that divide us and create sadness and injustice and oppression and all of the things that we see around us. But then there's the spiritual side, our noble self, which is capable of selflessness, transcendence, love, compassion. And in fact, we need to reflect on what does it mean to be powerful? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be successful? All of the things that we're chasing in our society, which mm-hmm. end up being illusions. The real power is having a pure and powerful soul. The real power is looking beyond all the distractions which we mistake for success and accomplishment and all of this. These mirages. So, and why do I begin with this? Because it answers, in a sense, all of the questions that you've asked, both about how I have confronted being immersed in intense suffering of others for so many years, but also why it is that evil things happen, and also why it is that good things happen. And I'm maybe just going to reflect on that briefly. First of all, people say, oh, you were brave, you went to the war zone, there were bullets and bombs. And yes, in fact, I remember in Bosnia, literally on the second day I arrived, some snipers tried to kill my colleague and I because we were investigating atrocities in a village. And in a war zone, you see people dying, and it becomes normal, normalized. And you may be walking and a bomb will hit you and you will die. And it becomes, at some point, you accept it as part of life. So in Sarajevo, during the war, people would wake up in the morning, they would take their children to school, they would go to buy